In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Do you consider yourself a grounded person? I don't mean the word grounded the way we sometimes use it when parents ground their children because of being naughty, but I mean it when we use the word grounded in the sense of someone who is very down to earth and sensible, someone who is a dependable person, a person who really knows how to be a good human being. Think about that word grounded when we use it that way. The implication seems to be that someone who is down to earth, dependable, and sensible is someone who has a deep connection with the ground. Or as we said on Ash Wednesday, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. By dust, we don't just mean bodies that turn to dust. Because of cremation, we sometimes think of it in that way, of our bodies disintegrating. But dust, as it is used here, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return, is referring both to the dust of bodies that have been cremated and the bodies that are laid in a casket and lowered into the earth. It all, at some point, returns to the earth. To the ground. That is the dust to which we are taken and from which we have been taken. From the ground, God took a scoop of clay and formed it into Adam, a name that means something like the earth man, even the mud man, the soil man, the ground man, the man from the dust of the earth. Remember that you are dust formed by a handful of clay, and one day you will return to that soil. Perhaps that's one way of understanding our real problem. We forget to be grounded. We forget that we are dust. We forget that we are clay, and we forget what it means to be those things. Instead of living down-to-earth lives, we seek to exalt ourselves and to fly up into heaven. Rather than be creatures, we would be God Himself and choose right and wrong for ourselves and refashion the earth and our neighbors' lives and even our own flesh into something that we choose and desire. What we need instead is to be grounded. Not just in a mental way, but in a true down-to-earth way, loving the things of the earth, loving the soil on which we stand. As an old band, REM, famously sang when I was in high school, "Stand in the place where you live, now face north, think about direction, wonder why you haven't before." To be happy, mankind must be related to the soil under his feet and see himself directed towards it. Not just the cardinal directions of north and south and west and east, but the direction of God. And to remember that we are all sons and daughters of the mud man, Adam. All of which brings us to the grave. It was always about the grave. Everything we've discussed this Lent, and much of our life, we've been making our way through the funeral service of the church, from the commendation of the dying to the receiving of the body, the proclamation of the word, the final condemnation, and now the graveside. We've made our way through that funeral service because what the world needs more than anything else is a good funeral. Nothing grounds us like a good funeral, which takes our feet to the edge of the grave. God wants us to see, even in the grave, the gate of eternal life. He does not want us going to that grave alone. He does not want us facing death alone, but he would have us go there with him. And that's what a funeral service is all about. At a good funeral service, we confess how things really are, but even more importantly, we apply God's consoling, redeeming word to that reality. At a funeral, we acknowledge that there is a grave in everyone's life, and we stand by that grave without fear to confess that Jesus has risen from the grave. We even stand by the clay of our loved ones, his or her own body, and we speak over that clay the word that fashioned it and that we now expect and trust to raise it from the dead. Jesus gave us that hope by entering a grave himself. Jesus did not have his own grave, not because he was poor, but because he had always come to fill our grave. So sure enough, he is not laid in his own grave, but in a grave that belongs to one of us, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph and the other women who were there with Jesus at his cross watched carefully for an opportunity to bury him, so also Nicodemus. Crucifixion victims weren't always given a burial. Sometimes they would just be left there for the scavengers, or they would be doused in fuel and set aflame. But the body of Jesus, of one soil with us, was recovered and placed into our soil once more. Dust he was, and to dust he returned. And with the closure of that tomb, he opened ours. When Pastor Johnson and I stand by your graves and speak those words, earth to earth, dust to dust, in the sure and certain hope of resurrection to eternal life, we are not burying bodies, but we are planting seeds of the resurrection. We are leading you to where Jesus leads all of us always, to the grave, there to cast that holy word of God like seeds into the ground, grounding you in the hope and promise that what happened to Jesus will happen to you and to your loved ones. It was in this hope that you were baptized. Buried with Christ by baptism into his death, you fell like a seed into the ground, grounded into the flesh of Christ, watered in the Spirit, and now you are all growing like seedlings, awaiting the full day of your blossom and your harvest. Nothing orients us to that hope better than a good burial with the Word of God. And so that's what Jesus gave us in his burial, a good burial with the Word of God enclosed in our clay, waiting to burst forth into glorious light and resurrection. That's what Jesus gives you in your baptism, the Word of God enclosed in your clay, waiting to bring you forth into light and resurrection. It has always been about the grave. We don't come to that grave alone, but with him who knows the grave inside out. Christ accompanies us even there, turning even the grave into a place of light and consolation, the gate of heaven. The hymn that you sang before worship is a good hymn, perhaps not known to us, not before worship, before the sermon. Perhaps not known to us, it's a good hymn, though, to sing at the graveside as it is lowered, the casket of our loved one, into that grave. Take out your hymnals again, please. The Canterbethy, if you would, for our sake. Let's sing again stanzas 1 and 2 and 7 of 759. 759, 1, 2, and 7. Thank you.
us by thy death from endless death and set us free. We laud and praise and worship thee.
These are not dismal thoughts, these are joyful ones. Here is where we become a grounded people, grounded in Christ. His burial is our good burial. They say you don't really belong to a place until you've buried someone whom you love in its ground. God has buried his son, his beloved son, in your soil. I guess he now belongs to you and to your place. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.